Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I know you think you're hearing things right now, but no. We are back. We are back. We are back live on a Thursday night edition of the Absolute Truth Show, Sports Edition, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man who suffered from many concussions from dealing with Sean Black. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone, I have the man. I'm sorry, not the man. He'd never be the man. I have the one, the only.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building. Well, I should say, in the arena, once again.
And I have the third guy who's a Tim Tebow lover. Well, he loved Tim Tebow for some odd reason. They call him Phil the Fishman Fisher. Welcome.
Welcome. And what up, Hot Rod? Sean?
Hey. Greetings and salutations, Phil.
Thank you. It's not my fault that I keep up with the Tim Tebow things on Facebook. I mean, he had another home run. That's four, and he's ripping it up in AAA, so who knows? This thing could work out. You never know.
Once again, Sean, you want to say something, or should I say something?
Well, look, unbeknownst to most people, I am a diehard Mets fan, just like Phil, but I'm not even going to talk about the Mets right now. And the reason why I'm not going to talk about the Mets right now is because they are right now as constructed a walking piece of mediocrity, mostly because they're hurt. They've been hurt. They've been playing on and off, although they played better over the last few games. They're still not going anywhere this year.
And right now they're losing against San Diego 4-1 at the bottom of the third. And while the Yankees, there could be a chance of a comeback, which I doubt it, at the bottom of the ninth, 5-4 versus Tampa Bay. So,
and of course, we all know, I'll just say one more thing. Lucas Duda was traded today to Tampa Bay for, I believe, a middle relief pitcher.
Basically a sack of beans, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, can we move on now? Can we?
Yes.
Are you done?
Yes,
you guys,
we can move on.
Okay.
Yes, we're done crying.
All right. Every time when we do the sports show, we keep talking about the NBA. We try to avoid the NBA, but the NBA has, even the offseason, I think the offseason is more fun than the regular season, well, besides the NBA Finals. Now, if I talk about the trade of the month right now, Kyrie Irving from the Cleveland Cavaliers, from the Cleveland Cavs. Sean.
Ronnie, hold on. Your Yankees just tied the game, by the way.
Oh. Thank you very much. You know, I go watch it too. You know, I'm watching it right now. But
okay,
I don't care about baseball right now. You know, I'm talking about my Kyle Irving that might be coming to the New York Knicks if they trade. But Sean Black, Phil Fisher, why the major hype about Ivan? Should he be happy where he's at right now, a championship team as the Cleveland Cavs?
Well, here's the issue. This is a multifaceted problem. One, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers going into year four of the LeBron James experience, if you want to call it that, where they've been to the finals the last 3 years. You have a team that LeBron kind of helped christen to bring this team together. You remember, when LeBron came to the team, before he came to the team, I should say, this team was supposed to be built around Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins and a lot of young pieces. Nobody expected LeBron to come to Cleveland. He gets to Cleveland. Not only is Wiggins traded, but also they bring in Kevin Love. They also add J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert and all these players that came from the Knicks. Apparently a lot of players are coming from the Knicks and playing for Cleveland these days. But I digress. What happens is Kyrie Irving was supposed to be the linchpin of the team, to be the one that the focal point of the offense was going to be built around, and a good defensive point guard to play on that side and build around him. Bringing in LeBron and all these other players made the team that much better. Now what we seem to have is Kyrie Irving, who is now 25, going into his, I believe this is his fifth season in the league, starting to get into his prime, has been shown as a finisher. He wants to be the focal point of the team. And what you've been hearing all this time, I don't want to play, allegedly. He doesn't want to play with LeBron because he feels like he is not the focal point of the offense, that being Kyrie Irving. If the Knicks or anybody else that wants to make a trade with the Cavaliers wants something to be done, they're going to have to pony up a lot. I think for Kyrie Irving, the Knicks fit him for what he's looking for as far as being the focal point of the team. They have
Biased? I'm sorry. Are you being biased on that because you are a Knicks fan?
No. I'm putting it to you like this. The other teams that Kyrie Irving had brought up in his tweet, he said Minnesota was one of the teams, and Minnesota is loaded with Butler and all the other players that they've acquired. Miami, they have a young squad, but who knows where that focus is going to be. San Antonio is the other team, but that's not going to be – he's not going to be the focal point of the team that's going to go through Kawhi Leonard. So if he is looking for a team that is going to make him the focal point, the Knicks make the most sense. The reason why you do that is because you have a quote-unquote malcontent – well, I wouldn't say a malcontent in Carmelo Anthony. I'd just say that his personality and his character was assassinated by Phil Jackson. He doesn't want any part of New York right now. And he's got at least another 2 years before he's going to do anything. You put him in a trade, you get him to Cleveland, and then you throw in some parts, some other players, draft pick, protected first round, maybe a second round for the next year, and maybe another player, like the player that the Knicks drafted this year. Here's the kicker. Carmelo wants to only seemingly play for Houston, which makes no sense to me because Mike D'Antoni was a former head coach of the Knicks. They saw nothing. They did not see eye to eye. So this is just going to be a throw. It's like grabbing something, throwing at the wall, see if it sticks. But it works for Kyrie and the Cavs if they can get a deal together. Kyrie can go play for the Knicks, be in New York, which he stated he wants to, and Carmelo gets to play with LeBron and try and win a championship before his career is over.
So, Phil, do you feel Kyrie should be the man for the Knicks, or do you think he should go to another team? But knowing that if he goes to the Knicks, he's not going to take that team to a playoff right away. Let's be honest.
No.
Do you feel this is a career suicide, basically, for Kyrie if he comes here?
And if Kyrie comes here, I don't know how much of the focal point he's going to be, because right now, as it stands, the focal point on this team is Carmelo Anthony, no matter which way you dissect it. This is still Carmelo Anthony's team, plus you still have Porzingis. You know, you still have Porzingis who still, you know, gets the most attention with what he can do. I mean, if Irving was to come here, you know, yeah, he'd have there would be much focus on him, but not like the way it is on Carmelo. And it's still Carmelo's team, one way or the other. Now, if the
True.
Knicks, I mean, and do the Knicks have what Cleveland wants? That's the thing. I mean, if I'm going to make a trade for this guy, you know, I would still, you know, just for one player isn't enough. And for me, for the Knicks, I would want at least draft picks, and you know, at least maybe one or two first rounders too.
Well, like Sean said, you give up Carmelo, and you pick up two, and you get two draft picks, three guys for the price of one. Still save money in the salary cap.
Think about that. Cleveland, if this trade gets made, LeBron still has a year left on his contract. You give Cleveland Carmelo Anthony. You give the Knicks next year's first-round draft pick and the following year's second-round draft pick. Then you probably give up the rookie that they drafted from France and throw him in the trade. And you even it out with the money. The Knicks would get Irving coming back. and they will probably get another player who's getting an expiring contract to come off with the team, or somebody that can eventually help out. All it is about right now is the Knicks making cap room, getting Kyrie Irving to New York, but also, even more so, is the reputation of getting rid of the stench of Phil Jackson right now, because Steve Mills is now basically running it. He's team president now. They've made adjustments at the front office, even though James Dolan is really the main problem, but I digress. This is what the Knicks are looking for if they're trying to get Kyrie Irving. As far as go ahead.
But let's be honest. What more can Cleveland could do? You made it to the finals 3 times in a row. We talk about this many times. And I personally and professionally believe LeBron is overreacting. Do you think LeBron needs more help than help he's getting right now? Yes, there may be a missing piece, or maybe you want to make adjustments. But still, if Cleveland made it to the finals 3 times in a row, and I'll put this on the book, most likely they will make it to the playoffs again next year. Especially the way the Eastern Conference is built up. It's garbage right now compared to the rest of the team. So do you think LeBron is overreacting in this situation again?
Well, I think what if they were to make this trade, you know, that might Carmelo might be the scoring piece that Cleveland would want to answer with what Golden State got in Kevin Durant.
Sean?
I'm looking right now at the roster for both teams right now. You look at the Knicks, who do they have on their team? They signed Tim Hardaway Jr., who was a former player. And
don't remind me of that one, please. That was a waste of $77 million or something like that.
If they gave Tim Hardaway Jr. a quote-unquote normal deal, somewhere in the $20 million range, that would have been a perfect signing. But he got overpaid, and this is what the Knicks seems to do. But in any ways, they have him. Willie Herman Gomez, who is another good piece, along with Kristaps Porzingis. Now, with this team here, who else do the Knicks have? Got Kyle Quinn, Joakim Noah? I mean, that doesn't work.
Who?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are these players? I've never heard of them.
So the
the
Knicks have a couple of pieces. All they need to do now is get a franchise building corner piece player, somebody that you can build around and attract free agents to come to the team. And that's what the Knicks need to do now, especially if this is the end of the Carmelo Anthony. He can't come back now after all of the stuff that's gone on. And it's only really he has tunnel vision. He wants to go to Houston. He is going to defer. He's going to get his touches. But in Houston, you got a team that's going to have two point guards basically rotating back and forth at two guards. And that's what's going to be so weird. Who's going to get the touches and where and how are they going to figure this out? That's what the problem would be with Carmelo.
So K-Dog, what do you think about – Kyrie Irving will come back? Do you think he will come back and will you be traded? And also, since Derrick Rose was your boy back then in the Bulls, do you think he will make a difference in the Cleveland Cavs right now? If he's healthy.
First up, I got to say what's up to you, Hot Rod, what's up to Sean, and what's up, Phil, man? How you doing, Mr. Fishman?
How you doing, Mr. K-Dog?
Hey, doing well. The professor's live in effect. Well, anyway, I just want to say this about the whole Kyrie Irving thing. Kyrie Irving is coming to the Knicks because you know why he's going to come to the Knicks? He wants to be the man. He really wants to be the man. And like you said, Sean, earlier, yes, this is the end of the Carmelo Anthony era in the Knicks. And you know what it is with Carmelo Anthony? It's like he wants to, you know, expand. He wants to go somewhere where he feels that he can do something. Well, he'll have a team surrounding him. That's the problem. Now, as for Derrick Rose coming to Cleveland, He'll play, but however, he's not going to be playing that many minutes on the court. Because remember, Derrick Rose, even when he was a Chicago Bull, he was injury prone. I mean, one year he sat out the whole season. And you want to be very careful of playing someone like Derrick Rose. You want to be very careful. You don't want him to get injured. Because here's what I think about Derrick Rose's injuries. There could be career ending. I hate to say this. Yeah, I'm being honest about it.
But, well, last season, in fairness to Derrick Rose, he did play almost 70 games, and he did. He actually had a really good season. So,
true.
Yeah,
but was that he didn't play that many for the Knicks?
But he didn't play that. But he didn't. But remember, he didn't play that many minutes, though. That was the case. But with the Knicks, however, that team is hurting, and they really need to build up. Melo doesn't want to stay, but let me just say this. Let's just say they trade Melo. Who are they gonna get when this Melo trade goes through? Because remember, how much money did they get Melo for, and what is his contract looking like?
$145 million, something like that, for 5 years.
Yeah, he still has 2 years left on his contract, and he's owed I think $52 or $53 million. As far as Derrick Rose, he played almost 33 minutes, which is pretty good for somebody that's been injury prone. And he averaged 18 points and 4 assists. So he actually was a pretty productive guy. So
true. But what is what's going to happen when he joins the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because remember,
use him as a bench. Just use him as a bench.
LeBron,
instead of a starter.
No, they're not going to use him as a bench. They're going to try and put him as a starter. You know,
especially
they want
if Kyrie gets traded, he's definitely going to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's
Kyrie,
a big risk. That's a big risk right there.
The problem,
the problem with LeBron
is that his ego was hurt when they lost to the Golden State Warriors, a team that they'd beaten last year, and then this year, the championship is taken right up from under them. The rug was taken up.
Yeah, but you know what?
We knew that was going to happen before the season began.
True, but Kyrie should be happy that, you know what, yes, he wants to be the front center, but thanks to LeBron James, he's up there a little bit. At least thanks to LeBron James,
that is true.
Thanks to LeBron James, he has a ring. He's been to the finals three times.
Kyrie really wants to be the man. He wants to come to the Knicks. Remember, this is his moment. And this is a whole generation of players. I'm sure you guys will agree. This is a whole new generation of players where everybody wants to be the man. You understand what I'm saying?
I believe that, but look at Kevin Durant. Look what he did. He wants to be the man, but he joined Golden State because he wanted that ring.
Golden State
And
Golden State is not like one person's the man. Remember, this is a team of shooters. I've been saying this. I'm like, man, that team is a team of shooters. Everybody, there's not one single superstar on the Golden State Warriors. And Kevin Durant felt, well, hey, he wants that championship. He wants that legacy. I'm going to where it's at. Even though may have my problems with Russell Westbrook, but here's where I am. And that's what Kyrie Irving wants to come to New York and bring. Hey, let him do it.
Yeah, but let's be honest, guys. Starting with Sol Fisher, if Kyrie does want to come to New York, as he said, badly, what are the chances of him getting a ring again with New York Knicks? Let's be honest, as all true Knicks fans
slim to none at this moment in time.
Okay, so what's better, trying to be the man, be the spotlight, or trying to go after that ring? Carmelo trying to go after that ring, but trying to be at the spotlight at the same time. And like Sean and I agree, when he resigned with the Knicks back then, we was upset. And why? We know you want the money, but you're not going to get a ring with the Knicks. And look at them now. After what, 42 years, we're still ringless.
You mean 44 years?
Here's a thing that a lot of people don't talk about as much as they used to, is that we used to complain when players would go to a team and they would want to stay, irregardless of how good they were and how bad the team was. I remember back during the 80s and the 90s when we all wanted, even as Knicks fans, the New York media wanted the the Knicks and the team to win, mostly because of Patrick Ewing. They didn't make a difference
right.
who else was on the team. Everybody wanted Patrick Ewing to finally bring that ring home to New York, and it didn't happen.
They came close in 94.
Yeah.
They came close in 1994.
His last couple of years in New York were not all that great, and I believe his last year with the Knicks went to the playoffs, and they lost to Toronto, and that was the end of him. I think they shipped him off to Seattle. That was after the trade.
Patrick Ewing's last year was in 2000 when the Knicks made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but unfortunately the Pacers beat him in, I believe, in six games.
So when you look at what happens with players that stay with teams, you can't have it both ways. Like, Carmelo wanted to stay in New York. Even though he was born in New York, he was raised in Baltimore, but he still figures that New York is home. His kid was here. He's married. He wanted to stay his connections in New York. Nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, knowing the garbage that was going on in New York, he had his chance 2 years ago to sign a big contract with the Bulls when the Bulls was there, was still a very good team.
Oh, yes.
When they had
Bulls
there and they had Noah there and they had a lot of other pieces, he could have just slid in. And that could have been a very, very scary team in the Eastern Conference. He elected to stay because he got an extra $20 million on top of what he would have gotten if he went to Chicago. Can't be smirched the man's money. The Knicks are moving on. They need that one player that they can build around. And if the Knicks can swing a trade and maybe convince Carmelo, Cleveland might be better off for you because you've got LeBron who's like a one-year. You still got pieces there that are still winning. And let's really be honest. This team in the Eastern Conference, outside of Toronto and Boston, there really isn't any other team in the Eastern Conference right now.
No.
Maybe. Right now, Cleveland is the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
And the Bulls looked good until Rajon Rondo got hurt. And Rondo was no longer there. So let's see what happens with this team. But if Kyrie wants to be the man and he comes to New York, if he wins a championship, think about this. If Kyrie comes to the Knicks and the Knicks win, he becomes the talk of the entire NBA, even much more so than LeBron. Because, as I've stated before, even when the Giants were winning Super Bowls, when the Rangers were winning the Cup, when the Islanders were winning the Cup, in the New York City area, New York is a basketball town. It has always centered around the Knicks. And if the Knicks win and Kyrie or anyone else is a part of that team, they will go down in history as one of the greatest teams around, period.
Okay.
That's the plot.
We have to move on to our next topic, but this one's very serious and it's crazy. Because I do suffer from memory loss all the time. Not from concussions, from drinking a lot. But besides that, at no age. A report came out about CTE. Sean, what does CTE stand for?
Chronic terminal encephalopathy. And
that's a big word.
Yes, that's three big words. But it is a degenerative brain disorder that we've heard in the news talked about, especially if you're into football or any other high contact sport, which turns the brain and ages it prematurely and rewires chemically the brain so that it looks under certain scans like people that have had Alzheimer's. Memory loss becomes a symptom. Suicidal thoughts become a symptom. Certain bouts of rage, depression, loss of appetite, mood swings, those kinds of things happen and become a huge problem for people that develop CTE. But the problem is you can only detect CTE after that person has passed away.
So,
wow.
In the reports that came out from the research, out of 111 brains that examiners studied, 110 found with CTE. As Sean told me yesterday, 99%. 111 brains, 110 of them, ladies and gentlemen, have CT.
Wow.
Due to football, rough tackle, rough play, whatever you want to call it.
These were all former NFL players, mind you, who had donated their brains to that Concussion Institute that Christopher Nowitzki, the former WWE wrestler that retired, ironically, because of concussions, has been doing research over the last, I believe, almost 15 years now. It's been about that long that he's been getting this research. I think maybe a little earlier than that. But he's been getting research done. It's been a while.
And also, in breaking news today, Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman John Urschel, I'm not going name, so excuse me, he retired after football completely after the report came out.
Yes.
About CTE. He's like, that's it. I'm not playing no more.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about John Urschel is that at age 26, he also is a genius because he is a math wizard.
He has
multiple degrees. He's very intelligent. The NFL Network was running commercials with him playing chess against, I believe, 20 or 30 young children at the same time. He would go to one table, here's your move. Next, here's your move. Next, here's your move. He loves math. He loves all of those things that require him to use his brain. And I believe he's made enough money at 26. He's been in the league 3 or 4 years. I think he saw the writing on the wall after this.
Yeah.
So, with K-Dog, with this problem going on, and as you know, there was a movie about concussions with Will Smith back years ago. And there's been an ongoing thing with the NFL. Was the NFL trying to be quiet about it? Like, they know about it, but they're trying to keep quiet because it involves billions and billions of dollars. What steps do you think the NFL should do to help the cause of CTE? Like, they're wearing helmets already, so like, what else can they do?
Well, this is the NFL should be very interested in the health of their players. And I've been saying this ever since the death of Junior Seau, who committed suicide due to CTE. And, you know, it's becoming more and more of a problem. But like you said, Hot Rod, the NFL does sweep it under the rug. I'm like, there's no sweeping under the rug. Let's just remember something. Football is a very physical sport. You know, when you go for a tackle, whether you're going for, you know, you're rushing yards, yes, you're going to make some contact. We've seen players get seriously hurt, get carried off the field. You want the game to get better? Invest in your player's safety. Invest in your player's health. Don't just sweep it under the rug. And also, to ensure the safety, you got to change certain rules of the game. Yes, they're wearing helmets. Yes, they're wearing mouthpieces, shoulder pads and all, but you got to play the game safe.
All right, Phil. So me and my coworker was talking about this yesterday. Like, of course, you know, they have to work on a new procedure, but let's be honest, in football, your job is to get the ball, right?
Right.
Offensive-wise, if you're a quarterback, it's my job to tack you down, to get you to the ground. And God knows how many times we see wrestling moves like clothesline, spears, jackhammers.
Studies by families of former NFL.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
What?
Computer just starting to go cuckoo right now.
Yeah.
We have seen in the NFL tackles that do look like wrestling moves.
Yes,
and there has been that. Some of them, you know, some of them almost look like a spear. And here's the other thing. How much more can the NFL do to be safe and prevent these concussions? We've seen no helmet to helmet contact. I mean, they've put that out. I mean, I really, you know, at some point, I'm not an expert or anything, but how much more in the game can you change? I mean, you're talking about probably the most popular sport in this country is football. And, of course, they're going to sweep all of this under the rug.
And, you know, Roger Goodell has been trying, the NFL's commissioner, has been trying to globally expand the NFL. where we see lots of preseason games and regular season games played in London, played in Mexico City. We see them played in the past. It's been played in Japan for preseason games. All of these markets, the NFL is trying to broaden its name and broaden its brand. But yet at the same time, with all the money that they make, mind you, the NFL is going to make probably $11 billion this upcoming season between the Super Bowl and the advertising, et cetera. And when you have news like this that has been going on for the longest time, and NFL scientists and NFL doctors and NFL lawyers have been trying to dismiss this, think about that. 110 out of 111 brains from deceased NFL players. But that study doesn't even tell you how bad it is. They collected 202 brains. 177 of them had CTE, ranging from age of 23 to 89. Think about that.
Yeah. 23 years old, that's a very young age to be having CTE.
No, it is.
And that's going into thinking about, well, it's starting when they're in junior high, high school. And remember, they've had to change how they train football players and how they practice from years ago. Because remember when we were looking at the news, you were hearing about kids dying because they were overexerting themselves, because they were dehydrated, were passing out and dying on the field. So they've had to change contact. But that wasn't the main issue. It was the constant head collisions, going at it two-a-days, running into each other, running into the sledge, running into full contact drills two times, sometimes three times in the same day, against people wearing full body helmets and uniforms, going at it. That's just too much. And the risk is now what's happening today is that the NFL is starting to run into the ghost that continues to chase them, which is what happens if the youth, the parents that don't want their kids playing the sport decide what's going to happen if I don't play anymore. What happens then?
Well, let's be honest. And Sean and I were talking about this earlier yesterday. We need football. We love football. Football is like one of the greatest sports out there.
Of course, America's pastime.
Yes, but where I put my son, if my son told me that, oh, Daddy, I want to play football, I would tell him, hell, effing no. Why? Because of the dangers of football. You can play baseball, basketball, I don't care, any sport. But people fail to realize, not just football. You got soccer, wrestling, other sports. Baseball is like maybe one of the safest sports out there to play, because you well protected to a certain degree. Even the empires are protected. But what can we do overall? We can't stop football. But like Phil said, this is billions of dollars at risk. A lot of people have family to feed. So what can we do overall? Just talk about it and just do nothing? Or I'm trying to get the answer to this thing. Because the CTE is very alarming. It's like, wow, people are putting their lives on the field to entertain us every day.
Well,
so what's
one of the things that the NFL, it's even forget about just the NFL, we're talking about also college and high school, they have to determine what's a safe age to start playing the sport as far as full contact, starting in flag football and then moving up. The equipment, how much padding is used. If someone does get a concussion, how long are they healing? And the other thing that happens, and this is the reason why you have so many people with CTE and all of these head injuries, when a player gets hurt, they always want to stay on the field, and they have to make sure that the doctors that are going to go on the sidelines and check these players make sure that the players are saved from themselves. Because how many times have we heard, well, I just got dinged up a little bit. I got my bell rung. I'll just take a play off. I'll go right back on the field, knowing that the backside of his brain is burning because he just took a wicked hit. Or how many times have you seen somebody dumped on their neck and then carted off the field, and then they're able to talk and walk normal, but they can't remember the game? I remember Troy Aikman played in the Super Bowl, his second Super Bowl after the first one where they beat Buffalo and blew them out. The second Super Bowl, he said he doesn't really remember because he got a concussion the week before. So you
That's
have
serious.
To think about these kinds of things when it comes to the brain, because when a concussion is nothing more than a brain bruise, you have to allow the brain to heal before you can go back on the field. And the NFL only throwing in $100 million to support research is not enough, period.
Okay, well, okay, okay, though. What do you have to say about that?
Well, Sean said it all, but to be honest, you do, like I said before, you do got to invest in your players. And like I said before about the whole Junior Seau thing, you remember what happened to Junior Seau when he killed himself?
Mm-hmm.
It's later on they found this out. And also, let's not forget that recently, when was that, 2 years ago, when Frankly Gifford, the greatest, one of the greatest players to ever put on a Giants uniform, when he died, they said he had complications of it too in his head.
Yes.
After all these years of playing, because remember, there was a, because if you read in Giants history, there was a game that he played in 1960 that he, which I believe, I'll check it again, he was severely hurt in a play. He was knocked out completely.
Oh, yeah, he was playing against the Eagles, and Chuck Bednarik knocked him senseless on the field. That was one of the more infamous plays in all of football.
Yeah.
Well, how about, I believe it was back during the 1995 season, Boomer Esiason, when he was playing for the Jets, he got knocked out.
Yeah.
Until this day, he probably, he will tell you he doesn't remember the hit.
Yeah, and I think the game you're referring to is the game against the Buffalo Bills where Bruce Smith came from behind and caught him, and he didn't realize it. He got picked up and dumped on his head, and he was unconscious for an entire commercial break. So,
yeah, they said he wasn't moving for a number of minutes.
Yes.
Well, you see, this is where the play gets dangerous. That's why I say the NFL definitely got to change the rules of the game to ensure the safety of its players.
Well, besides that, I have two kids, and trust me, I was knocked out with that incident that happened. I don't remember how the hell I got those two kids. But besides that, the more of NFL problems, ESPN reported today that, you know, NFL was crying that we knew the Ravens was bad, but they say that from last season, but they say one of the major reasons why the Ravens were bad for the NFL, because here we go again with this guy. They blame Colin Kaepernick and his taking a knee that people were turned off and they did not want to watch football. That was one of the major reasons. Sean Black, I know you have a lot to say. So, do you believe because of Colin Kaepernick was one of the reasons of the NFL ratings declined by 8%? 8%. It went down by 8%. That's huge for the NFL.
It had absolutely nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. Now, maybe if you're a 49ers fan, maybe that makes sense because the 49ers stole last year. If you're looking for a reason why the NFL has declined, it's one of those tricky things. One, the NFL has been game rating, has been winning every year for God knows how long. And they always
Sean, I hate to cut you off, but what the heck is going on in the background there? Is somebody dying?
It's not happening over here. So,
wait a minute. Let me put down the window. Sorry.
Somebody dying or something?
No, that was a motorcycle running by.
Okay.
Sounded like a water buffalo. Put that necklace. And looking at the NFL, and there's a number of factors that happen. Where you have a lot of top-flight stars get hurt, and you're looking at other matchups, you also have to look and consider these things as well. Baseball's playoffs from September, late September, going into October, that had a huge amount to do with it, especially with the teams involved. The Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs.
The Cleveland Indians, they were able to get a groundswell of ratings. Some of the matchups aren't all that great sometimes. When you see the games that are on, especially Monday Night Football games, notoriously have not been that great because of the way the scheduling breaks down. And when certain players get hurt, the teams suffer with the schedule. Sunday Night Football definitely doesn't suffer because they are able to flex their matchups and get the best matchups every week. That's why they are consistently the number one rated show on television when they're on.
The only other ratings thing that kills Monday Night Football, and I hate to say it, and I know it's going to sound stupid, Monday Night Raw.
Well,
and you can look at the meal.
I was going to bring that up also.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Go ahead.
For the people that don't know what Monday Night Raw is wrestling by
WWE.
For the non wrestlers out there, you never know.
Back in the early 2000s, late 1998, 99, up to around 2000, 2001, professional wrestling on cable television, they were pulling in 8 and 9 ratings. They were getting in millions of viewers, and they were pulling ratings out of Monday Night Football. But the NFL didn't really want to acknowledge that. And it still happened, maybe nowhere near the extent of what it was back then. But the ratings got pulled. There's more to look at in today's landscape. When you have people looking at Netflix, people looking at things on Twitter and Facebook, people going and streaming other things, they're able to pull their attention more to every other aspect of television, whether it's sports, whether it's movies, whether it's whatever you're into. And that's what I think has happened with television in general. The NFL still gets ridiculously great ratings. It's just a drop that they're not used to seeing.
Drops happen. You know, one day you make $20, another day you make $9.
Exactly.
You lose a lot
as long
of money,
as you're making a profit. That's the thing.
Exactly.
If you make a profit of $500, and then the next year you make a profit of $200, although it's a $300 drop in profits, you're still making a profit. And that's what the NFL is doing right now. It's not as if they just lost all their money and nobody cares. No, it was a minor decline based on a lot of other factors.
And something else too I wanted to add. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, they also said like 24% of those surveyed said that they watched less games because of the league's off-the-field image, like the whole thing with domestic violence. And with game delays, including penalties, and all this other stuff, that's what people are really turning. Yeah, advertising. Too many commercials.
Oh yeah,
many commercials.
Too many drunk people watching commercials about getting drunk, right?
Exactly. Yeah. People want to watch the game. I'll be bored if I'm watching nothing but commercials. I'm gonna turn to something else. I'm not gonna sit there and waste my time watching nothing but commercials and all these delays and stuff. No, I'd rather watch wrestling.
Okay, I got 15 minutes left. I have to go to the next question for Phil. This question is from Max. New York Giants all-time great Lawrence Taylor is a Ring of Honor and goes to the Hall of Fame ceremonies. Regardless of him being a convicted sex offender, are you okay that LT get perks to this day?
Well, you know. Here's the thing, and it's sort of complex. I mean, here, you know, you're honoring what the person did on the field. I have no problem with that. But, of course, everybody's going to look at, you know, everything that's gone off the field, too. But, hey, he's already in the NFL Hall of Fame, even with all the crap that he's done.
Well, okay, you look at that, I'm like, I know this is a different field, but you look at Pete Rose and baseball, and all he did was betting, and he's still not in the Hall of Fame. It's like...
I mean, that's just ridiculous, because...
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I would think it's ridiculous what they're doing to Pete Rose. Big freaking deal, so he gambled. God, I mean, they act like he committed a crime. I mean, so what? And I'm sure everybody does it. Everybody does it.
Exactly.
The only thing is, Pete Rose got caught. That's it in a nutshell. He got caught.
And
But the man does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame when you look at what he's done on the field, and he didn't do it taking steroids either.
No, do you think they would make him go to the Hall of Fame after he passed away? You think that's what they're waiting for?
You know the way this thing is, it wouldn't surprise me.
You know, let's be honest. If they didn't do it 10 years ago and never now, why did they do it after he passed away? Let's do something nice for Pete Rose. Put him in the Hall of Fame finally and have somebody speak for him instead of him speaking. Maybe they try and avoid him at all costs. But Sean Black.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the leading candidate for the National League and American League MVP in baseball?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. What I'm looking at right now, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but Aaron Judge looks like he can be thrown in there as well. Because up until he went into that slump, he was looking like he was going to win a triple crown. You know, he was leading the league in home runs at the time, just like before the All-Star break. He was either in the top two or three in RBIs. And batting average, he was either first or second. So he looked like he was getting in there. So there's a possibility with that he could do that. The Yankees right now, they just have to make sure that they can continue to get out of the slump that they were in. They're playing much better. You, Hot Rod, being a Yankee fan, I know you've seen enough Yankee baseball right now to see that if this is going to drive you crazy. Mm-hmm. But right now, that's the way that looks. As far as the National League, it looks kind of wide open, and I'm seeing a lot to be dispersed all over the place right now. As far as looking at teams go, the Cubs finally woke up. You know, they look good. And looking right now at the way that they've been playing, I think I'm seeing their first place. They're trying to get back into the World Series. Let's see what happens there.
So who's your pick?
Right now, I would think Sean just said it best with Aaron Judge. And he looks like he could be the AL MVP.
And my thing with Aaron Judge, as a true Yankee fan, I just don't want to jinx it. Because you know in New York, we always say this person is going to be the best. He's the next Derek Jeter, next Mark Messier. And because of the hype, something happened to that player. And you know how New York is. We love you one day. I'm sorry. We love you 1 hour. The next 10 seconds. We boo you out or hate you and talk trash about you. I don't want him to live up to the hype yet. Just let him be. Let him do his thing. If he's good, he's good. You know. Well, I'm sorry, I just have to say that. Go ahead, Phil.
You know, for me right now, I still think it's too early to tell. I think we're only in the month of July. I want to see I want to see come August, come September, who's really going to step up their game. That's it for me.
Mm-hmm. And then National League, well, I know you're watching that very closely.
Between everybody in the National League, I mean, you can't rule out Bryce Harper. That guy's a home run hitting machine. And Daniel Murphy. For the regular season, you got to at least consider him.
And who do you see? And who do you see in the World Series? Do you see the Cubs doing a repeat?
You know the Cubs have finally woken up, and I mean you never know. You never know. I mean they have been I'm sure they were favored to get back to the World Series this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't see Washington, and you know, it's funny with the Nationals. Do you notice that Washington has two teams, a hockey team and a baseball team? They play great in the regular season, but come playoff time, they choke.
Well, do we care about Washington? No. So let them choke. Let them be the Dallas Cowboys of football. I don't care.
Well, you got a point there because they've always had really good teams and then they get in the postseason and fall apart. So let's see what happens. Because the last thing that the Nationals need right now is their pitching staff to fall apart, especially Strasburg, who can't seem to stay healthy longer than, you know, he's what, 2 years removed from Tommy John? Another injury.
Yeah.
He got forearm tightness couple starts ago, and we'll see how he rebounds from that. But that's the last thing that they need is him getting hurt. But they still have
a solid. Especially they still got that solid core, and Matt Scherzer is the ace of that staff.
Exactly.
Okay, and my question for you, K-Dog, Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys. How do you feel about his quote-unquote domestic violence charges?
That's something that they're taking very seriously, I feel. And what I could say about that, especially when it comes to domestic violence and the NFL, for some strange reason, it seems to go hand-in-hand, don't you think, that all of this stuff happens all the time in the NFL? I mean,
it seems like we talk about it almost every month on this show.
Yeah. This is something that's going on.
Well, do you think is a trending thing going on? Do you think, like, why is it, like, NFL players or most likely athletes have this quote-unquote cannot keep hands to themselves?
Man, what I could say is this is that it's becoming a problem, like we were talking about earlier, with this whole thing with the CTE. I mean, it's happening all the time. Domestic abuse. You hear a lot of players getting arrested, or, you know, these kind of things keep happening. And I feel that, yes, players do need to be suspended. You know, okay, the way they do their job, they play great. It shouldn't separate from the fact that, yes, they have a serious problem of beating up on their significant other. I feel as a man, that's wrong.
Okay, and of course, I have seven minutes left. I have to give it to the one, the only, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to hire your woman and children. I give you Milton X.
Yeah. Good evening.
I know.
But as far as the whole football thing goes, listen, you've got all these players here getting hit in the head since high school, basically. These walking time bombs because their brains are being scrambled. They're not going to make the greatest of decisions out there. As far as the domestic violence goes, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, I mean, if it happens, it's a bad thing, obviously. Also, too, you got a little bit, you got the targets, too. So you got a lot of women out here accusing them of doing shit when they didn't really did shit. So each individual case got to be taken, you know, succinctly and dissecting in its own lane. You understand? So it's like,
so you say,
just because they accused of something.
So you say it's about the money. Oh, you say it's
always
about
the
money.
Money. Right. So, but, you know, we got to look at it now. And also, too, there's a dirty secret about the NFL. You want your players to be, you know, kind of animal-like, kind of psychotic. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, football is a violent game. You want your players to be kind of violent. So, you know, if he's doing stuff off the field, they don't like it, but they're not going to, you know, punish him too bad. You know what I'm saying? Game here, a couple games there. They ain't going to knock him too much. Because they know they kind of breed that type of shit in these motherfuckers.
And so to Milton's point, if they get a sentence for every sack, for every ball they get, for every touchdown, you will try to do your job as by any means necessary to get the extra money. That's what the centers are all about.
Right. That's why they take, you know, HGH, Adderall, you know what I'm saying? If you got a concussion, back in the day we had a concussion, you went back out there anyway. You know what I'm saying? Now it's they act like they care because of the lawsuits and shit, but they really don't.
The culture, I think, actually condoned a lot of it. You know, it was very, very easy for any of these players to just go and get whatever medication they wanted. As long as you stay, you fall apart after the game. Fall apart when we win the division. Just do it in the locker room. Don't do it on the field. And that's what they do. They prop the guys up. They stick them with a needle, put a bunch of drugs in them, let them go out there on the field. They get eight sacks and throw 35 touchdowns. They get on the sideline. The game is over. They collapse in the locker room.
Right, right. It's sort of like the gladiator games back in the day. You know what I'm saying? The whole gladiator games and shit. You got Fetch of the Lions. It's the same shit. And it's just the modern version of it.
And the thing is, you know, Milton just mentioned drugs like Adderall. Then you have painkillers like oxycodone, hydrocodone. These drugs are addictive.
Yes, they are.
They're addictive drugs. And trust me,
they take them like candy.
And you guys know I'm a pharmacy technician, certified, of course. And
I don't know about that one.
I'm certified. Trust me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll show you my credentials. Ronnie, I see what comes in when I'm at work at times. I see people that look like they're addicts, whether they're hooked to painkillers or crystal meth, and believe me, it's not very good to look at.
Okay,
and
we have a couple of minutes left. With that alone, Phil, do you think it's also a mind thing? Like, I'm in pain also, but I hate taking pills. I have arthritis. I tell my business not to take a pill because, you know what? Yes, you get that quick relief, but the pain always comes back.
Right, that's the thing. You see, here's the thing. When there's a lot of prescriptions, especially for you know, painkillers like oxycodone, Adderall, you know, hydrocodone, a lot of these painkillers, a lot of the prescriptions will have the words like 1-TID-PRN. And what that stands for is you have 1-TID, stands for 3 times a day, and PRN. And this is key. PRN stands for as needed. So they're just what that means is you take it as when you need it, not necessarily three times a day.
But you know what? If I have a pain every hour, I'm taking it as I need it. You know.
Yeah, or you think
it doesn't
you need
mean
it, put it that way.
Exactly. Let's be
honest. I'll give you guys an idea. I had surgery years ago on my ankle, and they prescribed
and I still
me
don't
with,
care about that.
They prescribed me with 500 milligrams of codeine. I did not take pill from that. And it's mostly because of the fear that you may either become dependent on the pills or whatever the case. So you can imagine
how readily available
it is.
Forget the pills. Just drink Hennessy.
Yeah, of course.
You know what? To be honest, Sean Black, if you're drinking some alcohol, you probably would not need the pills. But other than that, guys, thank you so much. The show's about to come to an end. I got plugging to Monday night show. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in next Monday on whatever date that is to right here at Blog Talk Radio, where Sean and I will be talking about our favorite subject, Donald Trump and a transgender ban. Sean's a transgender himself, so he wants to defend his people.
That explains
a lot. Yes. Lord. So tune in 10:30 on that right here on Blog Talk Radio. And other than that, guys, thanks so much for making the show interesting. I can't wait to do another sports show. And you know what, Phil? Lay off the drugs, okay?
Just lay off the drugs.
And the New York 165, and your Mets are still losing, 7-1 top of the 7 against the Padres.
Losing to the San Diego Fathers. Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Once again, K-Dog, Milton X, and Phil the Fishman Fisher, thank you so much and have a good night.
Hey, good night, fellas.
Good night, guys.
All right, Sean Black, you got 30 seconds. Say what's on your mind. Let's go.
Okay. I'd like to thank them. I think what we're talking as far as at a sports level, we know what we used to talk about in baseball, the expression was the hot stove, which was usually about moves, et cetera, as far as what teams trade, et cetera, et cetera. Basketball has supplanted baseball when it comes to their own hot stove because they're making sure that you know that their season is year-round. Summer is when they're supposed to be off. All they're still talking about is Kyrie, what's going on with LeBron, what's going on with Carmelo.
That's it. Time's up. You got to go. Oh, yeah. You know what? I forgot to say happy birthday, K-Dog. Well, we will try to say it again Monday night. Good night, everyone. And Sean, kiss me, please.
Oh, good Lord. Definitely the pleasure is all yours. Good night, everybody.
Good night.